Welcome here. Let's pray with scripture and pray with the Psalms, beginning with invitatory. Just praying that the Lord will give you a big hug and that he'll reassure you and show you how much, remind you of the times that he's loved you and showed you true love. We're still in Lent. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us approach the Lord. But if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him. The dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Come, then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Sorry to say we're a little wee bit late, but let's try to squeeze in the office of readings for St. Joseph if we have time. We'll just say the antiphons, and I'll try to put it in at the very end. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. The second antiphon for office of readings was, when he awoke, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had directed him, and he took Mary as his wife. Joseph left Nazareth and set out for the town of David called Bethlehem to register with Mary. Now we're going to go over to evening prayer for the day, which is for Thursday, the second week of Lent. I have made you the light of all nations to carry my salvation to the ends of the earth. Psalm 72, the Messiah's royal power. Opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 2:11 is our verse to help us pray the psalm in light of Christ. O God, give your judgment to the king, to a king's son your justice, that he may judge your people in justice and your poor in right judgment. May the mountains bring forth peace for the peoples and the hills justice. May he defend the poor of the people and save the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. He shall endure like the sun and the moon from age to age. He shall descend like rain on the meadow, like raindrops on the earth. In his days justice shall flourish and peace till the moon fails. He shall rule from sea to sea, from the great river to earth's bounds. Before him his enemies shall fall, his foes lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the sea coast shall pay him tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall bring him gifts. Before him all kings shall fall prostrate, all nations shall serve him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son, help us love you with faithfulness. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So it's a beautiful messianic, or implicitly messianic, psalm about the king ruling and bringing in all the Gentiles. I have made you the light of all nations to carry my salvation to the ends of the earth. The Lord will save the children of the poor and rescue them from slavery. For he shall save the poor when they cry, and the needy who are helpless. He will have pity on the weak and save the lives of the poor. From oppression he will rescue their lives. To him their blood is dear. Long may he live. May the gold of Sheba be given him. They shall pray for him without ceasing and bless him all the day. May corn be abundant in the land, to the peaks of the mountains. May its fruit rustle like Lebanon. May men flourish in the cities like grass on the earth. May his name be blessed forever and endure like the sun. Every tribe shall be blessed in him. All nations bless his name. Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, who alone works wonders. Ever blessed his glorious name. Let his glory fill the earth. Amen. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, we pray for the Holy Spirit to intervene in our lives, to grant us his blessings, especially in our minds and hearts. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity. Now and at the hour of our death, pray for us, Holy Mother of God. Amen. The Lord will save the children of the poor and rescue them from slavery. Antiphon 3, now the victorious reign of our God has begun. We praise you, the Lord God Almighty, who is and who was. You have assumed your great power. You have begun your reign. The nations have raged in anger, but then came your day of wrath and the moment to judge the dead, the time to reward your servants, the prophets, and the holy ones who revere you, the great and the small alike. Now have salvation and power come, the reign of our God and the authority of his anointed one. For the accuser of our brothers is cast out, who night and day accused them before God. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Love for life did not deter them from death. So rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell therein. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of the Father's gifts to Mary, we pray for ourselves to know his loving kindness and all the things that we need to ask for. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now the victorious reign of our God has begun. So we're going to take a look at the book of Exodus. The verse introducing our lesson from scripture and tradition from the word of God is from the book of Exodus, and it's, turn back to the Lord and do penance, be renewed in heart and spirit. Book of Exodus 17, chapter 17, verses 1 through 16, water from the rock, the war against Amalek. From the desert of Sin, the whole Israelite community journeyed by stages, as the Lord directed, and encamped at Rephidim. Here there was no water for the people to drink. They quarreled, therefore, with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to a test?" Here then is there, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock and water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Menizah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" At Rephidim, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. Moses therefore said to Joshua, "Pick out certain men, and tomorrow go out and engage Amalek in battle. I will be standing on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him. He engaged Amalek in battle after Moses had climbed to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. As long as Moses kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Moses' hands, however, grew tired, so they put a rock in place for him to sit on. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. And Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this down in a document as something to be remembered, and recite it in the ears of Joshua. I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens." Moses also built an altar there, which he named Yahweh Nidash, for he said, "The Lord takes in hand his banner. The Lord will war against Amalek through the centuries." Responsory prayer. With joy you will draw water from the springs of salvation, and on that day you will say, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. The water I shall give you will become in you as a spring welling up to eternal life." And on that day you will say, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name." It's a little bit unconventional, but I would like to put our reading from St. Joseph for yesterday right here, our scripture reading. So this is from a letter to the Hebrews, the remarkable chapter 11, just the first six verses, the faith of the ancients. Faith is confident assurance concerning what we hope for and conviction about things we do not see. Because of faith, the men of old were approved by God. Through faith, we perceive that the worlds were created by the word of God, and that what is visible came into being through the invisible. By faith, Abel offered God a sacrifice greater than Cain's. Because of this, he was attested to be just, God himself having borne witness to him on account of his gifts. Therefore, although Abel is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away without dying, and he was seen no more because God took him. Scripture testifies that before he was taken up, he was pleasing to God, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned about things not yet seen, revered God and built an ark that his household might be saved. He thereby condemned the world and inherited the justice that comes through faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called and went forth to the place he was to receive as a heritage. He went forth, moreover, not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose designer and maker is God. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive, though she was past the age, for she thought that the one who had made the promise was worthy of trust. As a result of this faith, there came forth from one man, who was himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands of the seashore. All of these died in faith. They did not obtain what had been promised, but saw and saluted it from afar. By acknowledging themselves to be strangers and foreigners on the earth, they showed that they were seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking back to the place from which they had come, they would have had the opportunity of returning there. But they were searching for a better, a heavenly homeland. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Responsory prayer, he never... Let's take our, like in place of a homily, we'll read from this sermon by St. Bernardine of Siena about St. Joseph from yesterday. There's a general rule concerning all special graces granted to any human being. Whenever the divine favor chooses someone to receive a special grace or to accept a lofty vocation, God adorns the person chosen with all the gifts of the Spirit needed to fulfill the task at hand. This general rule is especially verified in the case of St. Joseph, the foster father of our Lord and the husband of the Queen of our world. Enthroned above the angels, he was chosen by the Eternal Father as the trustworthy guardian and protector of his greatest treasures, namely his divine Son and Mary, Joseph's wife. He carried out this vocation with complete fidelity until at last God called him, saying, "Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." What then is Joseph's position in the whole Church of Christ? Is he not a man chosen and set apart? Through him, and yes, under him, Christ was fittingly and honorably introduced into the world. Holy Church in its entirety is indebted to the Virgin Mother because through her, it was judged worthy to receive Christ, but after her we undoubtedly owe special gratitude and reverence to St. Joseph. In him the Old Testament finds its fitting close. He brought the noble line of patriarchs and prophets to its promised fulfillment. What the divine goodness had already offered as a promise to them, he held in his arms. Obviously Christ does not now deny to Joseph that intimacy, reverence, and very high honor which he gave him on earth as a son to his Father. Rather, we must say that in heaven, Christ completes and perfects all that he gave at Nazareth. Now we can see how that the last summoning words of the Lord appropriately apply to St. Joseph. Enter into the joy of your Lord. In fact, although the joy of eternal happiness enters into the soul of a man, the Lord preferred to say to Joseph, "Enter into joy." His intention was that the words should have a hidden spiritual meaning for us. They convey not only that this holy man possessed an inward joy, but also that it surrounds him and engulfs him like an infinite abyss. Remember us, St. Joseph, and plead for us to your foster child. Ask your most holy bride, the Virgin Mary, to look kindly upon us, since she is the mother of him who with the Father and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns eternally. Amen. Responsory would have been, "He made me father to the king and master of all his household. He has raised me up that he might save many peoples. The Lord is my helper and protector. He is my savior. He has raised me up that he might save many peoples." The rich man who had refused Lazarus a crust of bread pleaded for a drop of water. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The rich man, who had refused Lazarus a crust of bread, pleaded for a drop of water. Reference to the Gospel read in Masses for today, which is that story from Luke's Gospel. Let us turn to the Father to intercede for others. In his mercy, God sends the Holy Spirit to shine on us so that our lives may radiate holiness and faith. Let us raise our voices in prayer and say, Lord, give life to your people whom Christ has redeemed. And we'll just say that once at the end. Lord, source of our holiness, all holiness, draw bishops, priests, deacons, religious, all ministers of your gospel, closer to Christ through the Eucharistic mystery. May they grow daily in the grace of their consecration. Teach Christ's faithful people to be devout and attentive at the table of his word and of his body, so that they may bring into their lives daily the grace that they receive through faith and sacrament. Grant, Lord, that we may see in each person the dignity of one redeemed by your Son's blood, so that we may respect the freedom and the conscience of all. Teach us to restrain our greed for earthly goods and to have concern for the needs of others. Be merciful to your faithful people whom you have called to yourself today. Grant them the gift of eternal happiness. We pray for Henry, for his other financial and other personal needs. We pray for Bill, for his health needs and for his psychological needs, and especially for his medication issues and everything. Pray for Julia to be released from the hospital and to find the best treatment so that the doctors will be guided by your wisdom and integrity. We pray for all the Flame of Love prayer warriors who join us daily or almost daily on the internet to pray together. Pray for Father Rob Gilea and his personal intentions and needs as he goes about some new projects this year for the youth. We pray for Father Jim Blau, always trying to lead people to understand God's word for today more. What was our verse response? Lord, give life to your people whom Christ has redeemed. And of course, for all your intentions. Lord, give life to your people whom Christ has redeemed. Gathering prayers and praises into one, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Like I said, all the petitions of the Our Father are elegantly explained in that fourth pillar, that fourth part of the Catechism. So I highly recommend that. It explains all these beautiful things about what the bread of life is, what how to let God's will be done. So that's the fourth part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. God of love, bring us back to you. Send your Spirit to make us strong in faith. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions, for families that are broken, for families in crisis. Let us pray that broken families might discover the cure for their wounds through forgiveness, rediscovering each other's gifts, even in their differences. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We could read a short little passage in the style of Lectio Divina from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, which I think might be a nice way to cap off tonight's prayers. I prayed with this morning. So a reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and most in chapter 5, end of chapter 4. Chapter 5 is short. Some have become inflated with pride, as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord is willing, and I shall ascertain not the talk of these inflated people, but their power. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Which do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love and a gentle spirit? It is widely reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of a kind not found even among pagans, a man living with his father's wife, and you are inflated with pride. Should you not rather have been sorrowful? The one who did this deed should be expelled from your midst. I, for my part, though absent in body, but present in spirit, have already, as if present, pronounced judgment on the one who has committed this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you have gathered together, and I am with you in spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not appropriate. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? Clear out the old yeast, so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened, for our paschal lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people, not at all referring to the immoral of this world, or the greedy and robbers or idolaters, but, for you would then have to leave the world. But I write to you not to associate with anyone named a brother, if he is immoral, greedy, or an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, or a robber, not even to eat with such a person. For why should I be judging outsiders? It is not your business to judge. Is it not your business to judge those within? God will judge those outside. Purge the evil one from your midst. So again, there's Father Mark Mary, Rosary in a Year podcast. I believe he's doing the Lectio Divina examples, and he can teach you how to pray with this personally even better than I can. So there's a beautiful process that he uses, a little different than the one that I learned, where you pick one particular sentence that you think is going to be central. So like I said, for me, maybe this part that stood out was, and you are inflated with pride, should you not rather have been sorrowful? And then meditate on that, why that stood out to me. But it really could have been any of these things, of which, as I said, in my more educationally focused version, you know, to retell the story, there's really three parts. They are inflated with pride without reason. Paul's kind of judgment of excommunication in the spirit, and the response to that. And then the paschal lamb image for the new covenant. Oh, I'm sorry. And the third part is, don't associate with people that are public sinners in the community, but continue to keep yourself pure and lead them to repentance. So, like, that would be a simple version of retelling. You could do even more like I did this morning when I was on my own. But anyway, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 through chapter 5, 1 through 13. So, like I said, it really spoke to me. About the mourning and sorrow that we ought to have when we have just consistently fallen short of what our call and our mission is as Catholics, as Christians who are set apart to be holy. You know, we shouldn't just think, well, whatever. If we are failing in our mission, you know, it's on someone else, but we should be one body, one spirit, and really, you know, we should be, in a sense, sorrowful. In a sense, concerned, if not sorrowful, at least concerned, when we see these signs that we are off track from where God is, and it's not going to be exactly the same thing, you know, as this huge public scandal. I hope not, but certainly you can find those things that are kind of like along the same lines spiritually. So that's it. I'm not going to give like a presentation, a teaching or instruction on that. I hope you have a great rest of your night. Dana signing off. Don't forget to ask for plenary indulgence. So I offer my plenary indulgence or partial indulgence, any indulgences to bless the souls in purgatory through the Church's blessings for doing these works with the Word of God, in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, uniting them to Christ's high priestly action. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.